All right. Hello, everyone. In this research review, we're going to discuss a recent article that was published that I think is really interesting and has a lot of practical applications that we can pull from it. So in general, the focus of this article is the concept of training to failure. And I will say, before we get into the article itself, training to failure is the term or the definition of is kind of self-explanatory, right? So within kind of a weight room type setting, training to failure typically means literally doing as many repetitions as you can, right? At the end of that set, you should be taxed, literally not able to do one more rep. That would be the true definition of failure. However, a lot of people tend to underestimate their proximity to failure, meaning they stop thinking that they can't do any more, when in reality, if they truly were pushed to crank out a few more reps, they probably could, especially in newer trainees. Again, they just tend to underestimate this for whatever reason. So again, just kind of take that into consideration here as we discuss this article in particular. So brief background here that the authors get into. Actually, let me back up a second. So the title of the study, again, this is one that was recently published. So the effects of resistance training to near failure on strength, hypertrophy, and motor unit adaptations in resistance trained adults. Okay, so these were previously trained individuals, pretty strong. We'll get into the description of the subject group here in a second. But again, kind of broadly, the scope of this study was set up in a way to determine if it's more beneficial to train to failure compared to not training to failure. Okay. And kind of the background that the authors got into here was just kind of discussing the kind of underlying notion that there seems to be this preconceived notion that training to failure is essential for eliciting kind of training adaptations over time. And the thought was, especially in trained individuals, that they just always needed to train to failure in order to get bigger and stronger. And I see this a lot in particularly younger athletes, where they think they always need to go full throttle in the weight room every single day. Again, taking every set to failure for every single lift that they're doing. And while I admire their dedication and grit, it's really kind of misplaced when we look at that effort. And so in my opinion, I think they should just redirect that effort into just putting more weight on the bar or lifting heavier for each set, and then not necessarily taking every single one to failure for every set, for every lift, for every day that they're in the weight room, right? And that kind of comes down to experience. But then also, this is where the strength coach needs to educate them on there's kind of a time and a place to really take some of these sets to failure. And as long as it's part of a well-structured plan, it, again, can be beneficial in certain situations. So what they did, or what the purpose of the study was, again, to investigate whether 5 weeks of resistance training near failure, so that would meaning, again, zero reps left or maybe one reps left in the tank. And this is what the authors define as low repetitions in reserve training, meaning, again, pretty much taking it to failure, versus ceasing sets with about 4 to 6 reps left in the tank. So short of failure, and this is what they called high repetitions in reserve training. And so they wanted to see if these two different training styles could differentially affect strength, hypertrophy, and some of the neuromuscular kind of performance characteristics. So again, resistance trained males and females, I can see the average age here, weight, and then importantly, their average squat 1RM to body mass ratio was just over 1.5. So on average, most of the subjects in the study could squat slightly over 1.5 times their body weight, which again is usually a good indication that they were pretty well trained and had a base kind of level of strength to start off with. And so again, they were allocated to these different groups and completed a 5-week training program with the 6th set being kind of a deload week. This is just kind of a screenshot of some of the training that they did on days 1, 2, and 3 throughout the different weeks of this training program. You can see the different specific exercises here. So for example, week 1, day 1, they were doing squat, deadlift, rear foot elevated split squat, RDL, face pull, and skull crushers. And so they were kind of, again, doing a full body training program 3 days a week over the course of 5 weeks, slightly different, again, depending on whether or not they were in the training to failure or not training to failure groups. And then if we get into the results here, first, the authors just kind of highlighted some of the training volume and volume load results across the two different conditions. And so on a week-to-week basis, they didn't really see any difference across conditions for training volume, meaning they were doing fairly similar amounts of sets and reps. Overall, throughout the entire study and five-week training program, there was a large effect observed in the training of failure group, in which they likely performed more repetitions. And then again, just over that 5 weeks, that started to add up to the point where they were doing a higher training volume, which is somewhat expected, right? That is, again, the potential advantage of training to failure is you're likely completing more repetitions throughout that training day, and then likely throughout the duration of a program. And then again, you can see differences here in the average repetitions in reserve, which again is intentional. This is kind of the way they split up their conditions. And so you would expect one group to have higher reps in reserve compared to the other. That means subjects were kind of following the instructions throughout that five-week training program. So again, this is what we would, in a sense, want to see or expect to see, just the way they structured this training program. Now, importantly, they didn't see any condition by time interaction for squat, bench, or deadlift 1RM, meaning across those two conditions, depending on what group they were in, over time, after that five-week training program, one group didn't get stronger than the other for these three lifts. So whether they were in the training to failure group or non-training to failure group, they saw similar improvements in squat, bench, and deadlift. And so as we see here in this section, there were significant main effects of time for those three lifts. And what that means is over the course of time, or over the course of this training program, both groups got stronger in those three lifts. However, the increases were, in a sense, equal across each condition or each training group. And so again, that means the training program worked. Everyone in the study got stronger over the 5 weeks. So they saw improvements in those lifts. But again, they didn't really see any interactions, meaning the groups experienced the same level of increase somewhat equally across those two groups or conditions, however you want to define those. And so some of the conclusions that we can draw from this is that these findings really kind of help us understand that in recreationally trained individuals, so prior resistance training that they had been engaged in, given that performing kind of a moderate to high resistance training load, so about 65 to 95% of their 1RM, again, using the training to failure or non-training to failure, it really promoted similar increases in strength. So in a sense, there's not an advantage of training to failure in resistance trained individuals. And so again, a couple things to consider here. The authors even mentioned this. Kind of based on findings from a similar study, they found that training to failure led to poor post-exercise recovery and worsened indices of muscle soreness and general feelings of well-being. Again, which is kind of expected, right? So this means in individuals who train to failure, they often feel like garbage more compared to people who aren't training to failure, because you're pushing yourself harder, right? You're training with more repetitions, you know, which again is just going to lead to increased soreness, fatigue, and feeling unwell. And that's important, because if you feel like crap, but yet you're not getting that return on investment, meaning you're not getting stronger or experiencing more muscle growth over time, then it's like, well, what's the point? Right? So high repetitions in reserve training, meaning saving a few reps, is seemingly an effective method for increasing strength and size over the course of 5 to 6 weeks. Whether or not this trend would continue over time, we don't really know based on this study. The other important thing I think is worth mentioning here is this is individuals just doing a strength training program. So with athletes who might be doing other sport-specific things, such as practice, conditioning, agility, plyo-type workouts, I would think this effect would even be kind of more pronounced, meaning I would be more cautious of training to failure if you're also doing those other things, because I think it's just going to exacerbate those feelings of soreness and kind of feelings of unwell if you're doing all of those things and then also training to failure, especially if you're not getting that return on investment. So again, in my opinion, really interesting study here. Very well designed, well executed, pretty practical findings that we can pull from it. And again, just kind of a word of caution there of people who always try to go full throttle every single time they're in the weight room. I'm going to follow this up with another research review and just kind of summarizing some recent review articles on training for strength. And again, kind of coming back to this moral of the story of you don't need to be doing high volume, reps to failure, a lot of like AMRAPs or as many reps as possible. If that's what your program looks like and you're training for strength, I would find a new coach or a new strength coach. This is definitely not the most effective way to be training if that's kind of the primary training goal.